Rabbos, say, let's turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph from the top of the Omid. So just to summarize the machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai in the Mishnah, thank you so much, is how do we understand B'shabucha of Kumecha? One approach, which is that of Beit Shammai, is that it tells you the ofen hakriya, meaning what is the stat, what is the body, the physical body of a person, what is its posture when it fulfills the mitzvah of reciting Kriya Shema. And if it's at night, the Torah calls it Bishalbacha, therefore he should be noter, he should be mate gufo. If on the other hand it's the Bekumecha, the morning Kriya Shema, then it should be Bekima. The Torah says Bekumecha. And Beis Hillel say, no, that can't be. Why? Because the Torah says, Belechtecha baderech. Now, what did Beis Hillel see in the words, Belechtecha baderech? And the answer is that just like when you're on the road, it doesn't matter. In the evening, maybe you're resting, or in the middle of the day, so you're mate, you know, you recline. Sometimes you're on the move, so you stand. But the additional words of Belechtecha baderech come to reveal and shed a light on B'shabucha of Kumecha that these words are not referring to specific ofanim or tzuros ha'adam, the way that a man should stand or his posture, but rather it's referring to the time periods in which you fulfill the Zman of Kriyat Shema. So there's something called Zman Shchiva, and then there's something called Zman Kima. Okay, so the Gemara says Bishleim and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel explain why they disagree with Beit Shammai, and the Gemara now goes ahead and says, "Is there any textual? Thank you. Any textual indication that Beit Shammai are correct?" And the Gemara goes through a whole discussion here that it shouldn't have said B'shabukov Kumecha, it should have said Baboker Uba Erev or Baboker Balaila. That would have been a more clear indication that the Torah is telling you what time of the day is Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar and Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. But the use of B'shabukov Kumecha seems to indicate that the Torah went beyond that. It's not just Balaila, but it's B'shabukha. It's not just Baboker, but it's B'kumecha. Then the Gemara asks the following question: Beit Shammai, hayu belechtecha baderech, mayu avid leh? After all, Beis Hillel derived from the extra words belechtecha baderech that we're talking about any way, whether you rest, you recline, you stand, you sit. That's the generics of belechtecha baderech. But what does Beit Shammai do with belechtecha baderech? They must have had some alternative derivation. And Belechtecha baderech is not just superfluous, it's meaningful, and it tells me some sort of halacha. And what we're about to embark upon here is a great halacha, a great principle which has tremendous repercussions, which is called Osek B'mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Hahu, that pasuk, Belechtecha baderech, mi boile, Beis Hillel, Beit Shammai needs it, for the brisa of Osek B'mitzvah. So let's learn the Brice. Now there are two phrases in the opening of Kriyat Shema that have to be interpreted. It says Belechtecha baderech, and it says also Beshivtecha beveisecha. Each one of these two phrases is meant to teach us a din. So we have two different dinim. Both are very, very similar. We'll have to work hard to distinguish between one and the other. And one is derived from Beshivtecha and the other is derived from Belechtecha. So what do we derive from B'shivtecha, says the Braisa, Prat, when are you excluded from the obligation of Kriyat Shema? Li Osek B'mitzvah. A person is an Osek B'mitzvah. Now this Braisa appears in another Sugyan Shas, and that's in Sukkah Daf Chaf Hei, with regard to Osek B'mitzvah Part Min HaSukkah. That in certain cases, the mitzvah takes you outside of the sukkah, and therefore you're not chayiv in sukkah. So Rashi, there in Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chaf Hei, gives the example of a holech l'dvar mitzvah. that he is on the way to do a mitzvah. It's really interesting because what Rashi's telling me is a gewaldige chiddush, that not only is his askus b'mitzvah a poter from other mitzvahs, but even the holech l'mitzvah, who's not yet involved in the mitzvah, he too is exempt from another mitzvah. And Rashi gives two examples. Rashi gives an example of holech l'kabel pnei rabo b'regel, and the second answer is holech liftos es hashvuyah. So if the mitzvah is outside your own dalet amos, then you have to travel to get from place A to place B in order to fulfill the mitzvah. During that travel, Rashi says, you are potim in a mitzvah. So for example, if you have to go to be makabel pnei rabo, your rebbe's on the other side of town, then you don't have to sit in sukkah. Or if you have to go to the other side of town or the nearby town in order to be poder shvuyim, then you don't have to sit in the sukkah. So that's Rashi. Because if not for Rashi, honestly, I would have said that osek b'mitzvah means the physical involvement in the mitzvah, not the preparatory stage of halicha l'dvar mitzvah. Now the Tziv Mivalozhin claims that in certain cases the halicha is what's called a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'Torah, which means that there are two different kinds of preparations. The Torah never tells me to buy a lulav. Obviously, if I want to be mekayim the mitzvah l'kachdim lechem, I got to purchase a lulav. But when I go from X, location X to the store, to the shuk, to buy my lulav, I'm not in. What do you say?
You're not on the way to do a mitzvah because to purchase it is not a mitzvah.
Correct. So it's only a preparatory stage. That's called a hechsher mitzvah. That would not engender a ptur for mitzvah. You have to get something that's upgraded to the status of a mitzvah in order to be potter from another mitzvah. But just because you're on the way to obtain and purchase a lulav so that you can fulfill a mitzvah, that shouldn't potter you from a mitzvah. But apparently, there are certain cases, says the Netziv, where the Torah itself tells you to do X in order to get to Y. So the preparation is a hechsher mitzvah hakosuv b'Torah. And that's considered like the mitzvah itself. That's already an upgraded, high profile, high status hechsher mitzvah. Okay. Now we've covered b'shivtcha v'secha, osik b'mitzvah, potem b'mitzvah. What about b'lechtcha b'derech? Prat l'chosan. Now, chosan is not directly involved in the mitzvah, but his mind is preoccupied with the mitzvah. And that's called tarud b'machsheves ha-mitzvah. Now, I'm not sure exactly what mitzvahs a chosan should be exempt from. I don't think there's a blanket carte blanche tour for a chassan from all 613. I think Kriyat Shema is a very unique mitzvah because the kiyum of Kriyat Shema requires kavana. And if he's tarud, he's so obsessed, he's so preoccupied, his mind is not free to create a kavana for Kriyat Shema. But I don't know about other mitzvahs. I'm not sure. I don't know. But one thing I can promise you, that the Brisa now is creating is breaking new ground. That in addition to his askus b'mitzvah, the chassan is potter not because he is osek b'mitzvah, meaning if the chassan, let's say, is involved in the actual marriage or consummating the marriage, I don't need a special pasuk of b'lechtcha b'derech. I mean, that I can derive ready from b'shivtcha v'secha. But rather, he's involved mentally or emotionally in the preparation for the mitzvah. He's thinking to himself, what's going to be and how am I going to do this? he's a novice, if you know what I mean. So now we have a new category called Tarud b'machsheves ha-mitzvah. He's Tarud. Tarud means he's focused. He cannot...
Distracted.
He's distracted. And he's so focused on this mitzvah that he cannot possibly digress and read Kriyat Shema and have the proper kavanah for Kriyat Shema. However, we have to be very careful over here, because if you're going to tell me that it's humanly impossible for him to, you know, to divert his attention away from the wedding for a moment to recite Kriyat Shema or to do a mitzvah, if it's impossible, that's called onus. That's called someone who, you know, he's in a situation which is beyond his control. So we're not saying that the chassan, it would be impossible for the chassan to have a machsheves mitzvah. What we're saying is that since he's tarud and the Torah advocates that he should be tarud, that's a whole different type of tirda. We're not going to ask him to cease. You know, to take a break from that tirda, because that tirda is exactly what the Torah wants, and that's called a p'tur of tirda de mitzvah, derived from Alechtov Aderek. And the Gemara says, "Mikan Amru Hakonis Asabsula Potur V'Yasalmana Chayav." So, what's the difference between Kones Esabsula and Kones Esalmana? On the level of mitzvah, there is no difference. Even if you're marrying a woman who has been married previously, nevertheless, you're still being mekayim the mitzvah. Like the Torah even goes as far as to say, La'erev al tanach yodecha, even if you already have children, you should still get married. So if he marries a woman and she's been married in the past, that's still a mitzvah. So why is he chayev here? But the answer is that machshava HaToredes, you know, Tirda de Machshava only applies to marrying a Basula. It doesn't apply, he's not called Tarud the Machsheves HaMitzvah in the case of Almana. So again, if you ask me, is he Chayiv in a mitzvah when he's taking his Almana into the Chuppah? At that moment, for sure he's Potter in a mitzvah. That comes on the B'Shivtcha Veisecha, also if you mitzvah Potter in a mitzvah. When the Gemara is saying now that Akonis Almana is Chayiv a Kriyat Shema, what it means is that he cannot claim what we call Tarud b'machsheves mitzvah. The only chassan who can claim I'm Tarud b'machsheves mitzvah is a kones es habesua. And the reason for that is because when we get to Be'ila, there's a special mitzvah of Be'ila with a besua. To consummate that first marriage for her is going to be a special mitzvah, and he's tarred in that mitzvah. You know, he doesn't know exactly how he's going to fulfill it. You know, he's a little bit nervous, he's sweating, he's thinking, is she a basula? Maybe he'll find out that she's not a basula, he has to run to Bezdin. You know, the Mishnah at the beginning of Ksubas. Anyway, there are various intense, shall I say, anxieties and absolute focus and intention on this mitzvah of marrying a basula, and that creates a tarud b'tirda de mitzvah. Oh. Now I'd like you to fast forward a little bit, and the Gemara says that afilu kone salmona, why isn't he put for kriyat shema? And the answer is high tarud v'hai lo tarud, that in the case of Almona, he's not Torah. But again, while he's actually marrying her during those moments, he certainly is Osik b'mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, Imishum tirda afilu tavas v'naso b'yom nami. If you're telling me that a person is so obsessed with certain thoughts and anxieties, he's focused in an all-encompassing way such that it excludes him from thinking about anything else, and therefore he's part from Kriyat Shema, then why do you focus on a person who's marrying, a chassan who's marrying a basula? Why don't you just say in general, anyone who's tarud, he has something on his mind. Yeah, you can imagine a person who's been in medical school for 4 years, and now he's about to take his final exam. And all, you know, the 4 years and his whole future will depend upon this exam that he has to take tomorrow. He's Torah. Imagine if there was a crash on the stock market. That's called Tavas Vinasa Bayam. He has got all his merchandise on a yacht, and the yacht sunk to the bottom of the sea. He doesn't have insurance. So, Ein Lecha Tarud Tirud Gedola Mizu. Are we going to say that every person who's Tarud is Patur Min HaMitzvah, he's exempt from Kriyat Shema? You know, and then we got to get back to what we discussed earlier in the Sanhedrin. You know, there are different kinds of Yetzaharas. You know, there's one Yetzahar which is so tukfo that he's kashali, he couldn't overcome that Yetzahar. Then there's another Yetzahar for Nevelis, that's already, you know, so there's a Tarud of Tirudah because he lost $50,000. Then there's a Tarud of Tirudah because he lost $1 million. You know what I'm saying? How do we, it would be interesting if there was a Tarud of Tirudah. Now, the most perhaps profound case of Tirdah is an Avel Rachman al-San who just buried one of his close relatives. Who could be more Tarud than that? I mean, such a person can't think about anything. So is he parted from Kriyat Shema? So the Gemara says, as far as Tavas Vinasa V'yam, the Gemara says that Hasam, there's a difference between a man, a Chasam who's marrying a Basula. That's called Tarid Tirid of the Mitzvah. Aval Hacha, Tarid Tirid of the Rishos. Who asked you to be Tarid? Meaning there's no Kiyuva Mitzvah in Tiridah. Tiridah is not a Mitzvah. In the case of a Chasan who's marrying a Besula, the Tiridah itself is a Mitzvah. So I have a note here. He says that why is Tirda in the case of Svina Rishus? Nobody asked you, that's obvious, nobody asked you to be Tarud. But what about the case of Avelus? In the case of Avelus, Lechora, that's Tirda the Mitzvah. I mean, Avelus is one of the Mitzvahs in Taryag Mitzvahs. So in the note, he says that Rashi in Masechta Sukkah already addresses this question. And he says that all the Torah asks the Avil to do is to abstain from X, Y, and Z. You know, from Nilas HaSandal and Rechitza, Tashmish Amita. But the Torah doesn't command Tirda. The Tirda, which is in the lave, that's not obvious, that's not a mitzvah.
Well, before you're an Avil, when you're an Omed, you are exempt from it.
Right, so that's a sugya at the beginning of the second parak of brachas. That's called osik b'mitzvah potum in a mitzvah. But I'm talking about after kvura, and he's totally singly focused on his avelus. He's in a state of tsar and tirda, and yet he's chayav in kriyat shema. And the Gemara explains because that's not a tirda the mitzvah. Why isn't it tirda the mitzvah? The Torah wants a person to simply be cold and intellectual, and give him the rigorous categories of and violations. If he does this, if he wears shoes, you know, these are all actions. But as far as his heart is concerned, he certainly is in a state of avelus. I mean, the Mishnah says later on, "Ein avelus ela belev." I mean, the avelus itself is the kiyum shebelev. So why isn't that enough to be called tirda? Why is that called tirda the rishus? So that's Akash. Now, in the pages that Steve was kind enough to photocopy, he says the following. The Afal gav the chosan nami osik b'mitzvah hu ilav kro yisera lo nafkalon mikro kama de kevin de osik mitzvah lo ksiva b'kro b'hedja ele miyuta rachmona miyuta b'alma hu de kodarshinim b'beisecha matina minei osik b'moleches ha-mitzvah de ikka Tirda. So let's underline the word bimaleches mitzvah. Aval chasan tarud bimacheves mitzvah. So there's a difference between being tarud in maleches mitzvah, the actual preoccupation with the act, you know, the physical body that's involved in fulfilling the mitzvah, as opposed to tirda, which is in the machshava. It's in the heart of a person, his brain. Shemachashiv al Esek Habesul. He's thinking about the fact that she's never been in a relationship before, in an intimacy. So therefore, we need a special pasuk. In other words, you cannot derive chasan from the first pasuk of b'shivtcha v'secha, because b'shivtcha v'secha refers to an osek b'moleches hamitzvah. What does it mean, b'moleches hamitzvah? The actual physical activity that's involved. That's called osek b'mitzvah. What would you say, for example, if let's say I found a lost item and I lock it up, you know, in a room where it's going to be safe and no one will steal it, and then I could do what I have to do in order to return the object, would you say that he's an osek b'mitzvah because he has an aveda that's locked up in his closet?
No.
Because what word are you missing here? Moleches ha-mitzvah. Moleches ha-mitzvah means the actual physical activity. He's not involved in any physical activity. I got a mezuzah on my door. Should I say osek b'mitzvah, part of the mitzvah? The answer is I'm not actively involved in the mitzvah. If I'm putting up a mitzvah, a mezuzah, excuse me, that's a different story. But now we have a new category derived from Melechtecha Baderech, that even if you're not Torah b'Meleches HaMitzvah, but you have a Tirdus Machshava the Mitzvah, and that's the case of Chasam. Now Rashi says that Kevon da'anan miut bi'alma darshin and prat lechasan mistayech imimata minei tirdu the mitzvah. So it means the following, that osek mitzvah, potem mitzvah means that there's a tircha de mitzvah. Now we're expanding the tircha de mitzvah from tirda de meleches mitzvah to tirda de machsheves mitzvah. But akone says almona chayev b'kriyat shma, what's b'shas knisa? The afgav d'vosa shah osek b'mitzvah before, mikomakom mikavon de leka tirda Eino potem in a mitzvah. What does that mean? What does that mean? Leka tirda. In other words, he's saying that the osa shah osaku b'mitzvah before. That's not the way we learned it. We learned it that in the case of almana, if right now at this moment he is actually marrying her, then he would be potter under the din of the shivtcha v'secha, partly osik b'mitzvah. For some reason, which I don't understand why, well, I mean, we'll see the Rambam's language, but he says that Hakonis Salmona Chai B'Kriyishma Af B'Shas Knisa Mamish. Oh, I see what he means. What he means is that he can take a break of 2 minutes and recite Kriyishma without any loss of the mitzvah. Anybody know what that's called? That's called Efshel Kaim Shteya. So, for example, if somebody knocks on the door and he needs stucco, and at that moment I have your aveda up in my closet, and I'm like, that's Efshel Kaim Shteya. I can be mekayim the mitzvah of giving the money to the ani without any loss of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. In other words, it's locked up in a closet. So if I go to the door to give this fellow a dollar, it doesn't mean that I've undermined in any way the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, because the Aveda is locked up in my closet. So in every mitzvah you have to determine, according to Rashi, would it be that he could take a break to do another mitzvah, come back to his first mitzvah at no loss to that first mitzvah? That's called Efshel Kaim Shteya. And indeed, in the case of Konis Es Ha'almana, even Bishashu Machnes Zanmana, he can take a break to read Kriyat Shema without any loss to the mitzvah of marrying an almana. Do you follow what I mean? So, how long does it take to marry a woman? You know, let's say it takes 20 minutes, right? He can take a break somewhere in the middle and he doesn't forfeit that mitzvah. That's called Efshel Chaim Shtein. But in the case of Chasan, he's potter under an entirely different category. Not under the category of Osik B'mitzvah, but rather that's derived from the left Kovat Derech under the category of Torud B'machsheves HaMitzvah. And let's read the Rambam in Perek Dal Milchus Kriyas Malacha Aleph. And the Rambam writes, Misha Hayalibo Torud V'nechpaz B'dvar Mitzvah. The Rambam used a lot of different flowery language. He's like writing poetry. He says, Libo Torud V'nechpaz L'dvar Mitzvah. Is Mikol on Mitzvahs, it doesn't matter which Mitzvah, is Potter Mikriyat Shema. Laficha Chasan Shenasa B'suah Potter Mikriyat Shema Ad Sheyavo Aleha. Oh, and now the Rambam gives us a clue as to why this man who's marrying a besula is so tarud. Refisha ein daito pnuya shema lo yimtza besula. He's afraid that maybe he's going to discover that she's already been had. She's a ba'ula. So therefore, he's afraid. Once he's in this state of anxiety, Shema lo yimsa besulim, therefore he is torud. Avol nosei es habeula, she's already been married before. Afal pishu osig b'mitzvah chayav. But in the case of an almana, means she's already been, you know, had a relationship, even though he's osig b'mitzvah, the Rambam says he's chayav likros, hol v'ein lo dover shemeshabesh taito. So again, the Rambam is talking about a case where he can accomplish both of these mitzvahs at no loss. He can take a break from the first mitzvah and finish up. So, second, that in a case where he could take a break, that's one thing. But in the case of tarud, it means that the tirud takes him from the beginning to the end, and he's tarud b'dvar mitzvah. Therefore, he's potter min mitzvah. Now, is there any machlokas here, anyone who disagrees with Tosfos? He says the following. Ein b'Tosfos Sukkah, daf chaf hei alf. So this is on your page Tzariches. You have that? And Tosfos says that the reason we need two psukim is to generate, to derive two different demons. What are these two different dinim? Number one is osek b'mitzvah potter mitzvah. Number two is tirda the mitzvah poteres afilu b'shashena osek b'kiyama mitzvah. Okay, so that we understood on our own. Umavur nami midivri arashba b'sugyan umishum hachi parachi hachi afilu kane salmona nami debekni salmona nami mitzvah ika umayishna Ozil Mikhna Sabsula, what difference it make if he's going to marry a Basula, if he's going to marry an Almana? It shouldn't make any bit of difference. He's always considered Osik B'mitzvah. So what's the Rashba's answer to this question? That it all depends upon whether this Tirda, in the case where he's on his way to marry a Ba'ula, there's no Tirda. In the case where he's on his way to marry a Basula, there's Tirda. So you see that there are two pturim. There's a ptur of osik b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah, and there's a ptur of tirda the mitzvah, which applies even when he's not osik b'mitzvah. So what's the difference here between the Rashba and the Rambam? One second. Again, according to the Rambam, we said that Akonis Salmona is Potur. But that's only if it's the Efshel Kaim Shneim. But if it's Efshel Kaim Shneim, we said that he is Chayav in Mitzvahs. So where does Rashba disagree? Rashba says, Afil Konis Salmona Nami is Mitzvah Ika. And he writes the Chol di Ozil the Dvar Mitzvah, Hainu Osek the Mitzvah. El mishum tirdahu de patrinan. So it seems to me that what the Rashba is implying is that in the case of a kones es halmana, so it's he's on the way l'dvar mitzvah. You see those words, the ozil l'dvar mitzvah. So in general, ozil l'dvar mitzvah might be considered osek b'mitzvah, but not in the case of almana. Why? Because we need an ozil l'dvar mitzvah, which makes him into a tarud b'dvar mitzvah. Now, where does he quote the Ran? Look at the next paragraph. Tosfos in Sukkah Chaf Hey Dibra Masel Shluche hold that Osik Mitzvah Potter Mitzvah only if it's the Efshel Kaim Shteihen, and that's what we said before. That in the case of Kosei Es Almana, he can take a break and he can read Kriyas and then come back to being Kones Es Almana. So that's called Efshel Kaim Shteihen. The Ran says that Osik v'mitzvah potu bin ha-mitzvah gam kishe efshel kai mishteyen. Right. So it means the following, that if it's an esaskus b'mitzvah, then the Ran holds your potim in a mitzvah even if it's efshel kaim shtein. We're not going to ask you, well, could you take a break and fulfill another mitzvah then come back to your mitzvah without any loss. We're not going to ask that. But since you're involved in the mitzvah, you're potim in a mitzvah. Whereas Tosas says it all depends on efshel kaim shtein or efshel kaim shtein. He says, "V'nir de nechleku tosis aran machlokis here is begeter din osik b'mitzvah poter mitzvah. L'tosis din osik b'mitzvah poter mitzvah chal li din dechia." So we have laws of dechia, which means that one mitzvah pushes off another mitzvah. L'fichach rak biofin di efshal l'kaim shteihen. In other words, if you cannot fulfill both mitzvahs, because if you're going to drop the first mitzvah, you won't be able to come back to the first mitzvah. In such a case, we apply the din of dechia, and the first mitzvah is docha the second mitzvah. But the Ran holds that osik mitzvah potem mitzvah is a ptur. It's not a din dechia, meaning it's not that you have two mitzvahs and now you have to decide which mitzvah takes precedence. But rather there's a new din p'tur, that you're not chayiv in the second mitzvah. Why? Because you're osek in the first mitzvah, and therefore you're potter from the second mitzvah. Dahayu misha osek v'mitzvah achas, potter legamre ni mitzvah acheres. Do you see that? That's halacha p'tur. The Torah says that you're considered osek v'mitzvah, therefore you're potter in a mitzvah. It's not that, well, you're going to push off the second mitzvah. No, you're not chayim in the second mitzvah. So whereas Tosfos says it all depends upon dechia, therefore if it's efshel kaim shteihen, then you're obligated to drop the first mitzvah on a temporary basis, fulfill the second, and come back to the first. That's midini dechia. But the Ran takes a fresh look at this, and he says, no, it's not midin dechia, but midin p'tur. If it's midin p'tur, the Torah is saying that if you're osik b'mitzvah, you're potter from a second mitzvah. So you don't have to start making calculations, says the Ran. Well, maybe I could stop in the middle of the mitzvah, do the other mitzvah, then come back to the first mitzvah. All that is unnecessary because there's a din of p'tur. If it's a din of dechia, so it's a question of priority. You know, which comes first? So we're going to say that which comes first, it's the mitzvah that you started first. And that gets priority. But again, priority to prioritize is only necessary when I can't have my cake and eat it. If I can do both mitzvahs, then that's what I have to do. So why should I be potter from the second mitzvah if I can fulfill the second mitzvah at no loss to the first mitzvah? Comes along the Ran and he says it's a new p'tur. Now what is that new p'tur? That new p'tur is his askus for mitzvah. When you're involved in the mitzvah, why not stop and do another mitzvah and then come back? Says the Ran, no. Once you're involved in the mitzvah, the chiyuv doesn't land on your head. You know, you're not chayv. You're, so to speak, insulated, protected from the chiyuv of mitzvah. Why? Because you're osik b'mitzvah.
What would be an example of the Ron's position?
So the Ron would say that if I'm wearing a beged of tzitzis, so that levisha is considered as askus b'mitzvah, even though I can do other mitzvahs. But the answer is, if I'm involved in that mitzvah, I'm part of a mitzvah.
But that doesn't require any action.
Right.
Here the kash, you're asking, since it's a passive state of being, is that called as askus for mitzvah, even according to the Ran? Because the Ran holds osik mitzvah is part of a mitzvah, but he has to be an osik for mitzvah in an active way.
Yes.
So let's just see the next few lines, and maybe with that we'll conclude for today. He says, "V'nira od l'tosus adchia chal mishum kiyum mitzvah rishona." Mashenku dasaran etzem es askus b'maisa mitzvah. Oh, you're right. He needs an active involvement in the mitzvah, and that is poteres mitzvah shliyus vile di eno potu mitzvah cheres kishalovish tzitzis. Because that's not called an osek b'mitzvah, that's called a makayim mitzvah, but he's absolutely passive. And therefore, eino potu mitzvah cheres, because in the case of tzitzis, you have a kiyum mitzvah without its askus b'mitzvah. So what would be the case that would be in the nafkamina between the Ran and Tosfos? So it's a case of his askus b'mitzvah, but it's efshel l'kayim shteinu. Let's give the following example. What would be if I find your lost talis, and the Gemara says in Bava Metzia and Eilu Metzias, I have to air it out, because if you don't air it out, then it gets spoiled. Well, I don't know what word I should use. Not spoiled, a better word. So if I take a break, I could come back. In other words, it's not so time sensitive that if I don't finish airing out the talus within 3 seconds, the talus is going to get spoiled. But right now, I'm actively involved in shaking out the talus. And now somebody comes along, knocks on my door, and says, I need stucco. I don't have to drop this mitzvah that I'm involved in for the sake of another mitzvah. Even though Tosfos would say I have to do that because it's Efshel Kayim Shtein. I can take a break in the middle of my Askus, fulfill mitzvah B, and then come back and finish mitzvah A. So in that case, according to Tosfos, you would not apply the principle of Osik mitzvah. But the Ran would say that the Etzem has Askus, the fact that you're involved in the mitzvah, there's a new din p'tur. That someone who's now Osik b'mitzvah is potur. So take, for example, a person is on the road in order to be makabel p'nei rabo b'regel. Let's assume, if you grant me this, that if he takes a 5-minute break on his road, on his path, if he parks his donkey, on the side for a minute, he can fulfill another mitzvah, and then come back and he won't miss his rebbe. So Tosfos would say that he has to stop on the road, park his car, do the mitzvah, and then go continue on his way. The Ran would say that as long as he's on the way, he's already considered an osek mitzvah, and he's part of the mitzvah. So that would be the nafkamina between the Tosfos and the Ran. All right? So we'll stop here.
If you're teaching the class back right now, and someone walks in and they want tzedakah, would we have to stop them?
So in that case, I think even Tosfos would say I'm potter in a mitzvah. Why? Because
we're a bit potter from giving tzedakah.
Why? Because according to Tosfos, in such a case, for that minute that I close the Gemara and I go out to give, the pruta to the ani, I'm not teaching Torah. So I've had some sort of an impact on the mitzvah rishona. If by stopping, terminating the mitzvah rishona, you lose time, and therefore the quality of the first mitzvah, then we're going to say part of the mitzvah. Okay, then?